Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Now, we have a theme for the year here at Ablaze. His story, it's hard to see on the wall over there, in 2024. History is God's story, His story. And we are a part of His story. And one of the most accurate history books is the Bible, which contains His plan of salvation, His story. And as Christians, we become a part of this wonderful history. Now, here at Ablaze, we've gone through many series. The first series was going through the historical book of the Gospel of Mark. Mark was a historian. Then after Easter, we took a close look at the biggest fish story in history, the story of Jonah, who was one of the most prosperous evangelists in history. Well, today, we're going to take a look at Paul, who's one of the greatest missionaries in history. He started many churches in Asia Minor, and Paul writes a letter to Timothy. It is known in 1st and 2nd Timothy. We might say 1st and 2nd book of Timothy, but they're really letters. 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are Paul's letters to pastors. And you might thinking, well, why are we looking at that? Well, any letter written to pastors or leaders of churches, the pastoral letters are as important to us as to Timothy. Bow your heads with me for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we take a look at what the Holy Spirit gave to Paul to write to Timothy, may they come alive for us today. And may we understand how important these words are in our history. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Today, as we take a look at what Paul writes to Timothy, genealogy is going to be a very important aspect of one of the issues at the church in Ephesus. I got a question for you. When it comes to your ancestry, have you ever taken a DNA test to understand your ancestry? Maybe one of those kits? Anybody? Have you ever done? Oh, okay. Yeah, any surprises? Okay. Yeah, well, there was a big surprise in my family. Now, I grew up with German-speaking grandparents, and my mother spoke German fluently. I would introduce myself to others as 100% German. It's in my blood, and I was very proud of it. Okay, when I met my wife, Sabina, who is from Germany, okay, I was so proud. I'm 100% German. Notice the blue eyes and the blonde hair, okay, the Aryan race kind of idea. And I was very proud of that until my uncle shared with me his DNA test and the ancestry that I have a lot of Jewish blood in me. Okay, and I'm going to be honest with you. I was like, oh, okay, why? Because I've been promoting a myth all my life. It wasn't true. So I went up to my mother to verify. I said, Mom, DNA says we have Jewish blood. And she goes, of course we do. Grandma was a Lilienthal. She was Jewish. But I didn't know that. Why do I share that with you? Because I'm sure many of you are interested about your ancestry, and that's okay. But if you think your ancestry makes you better than anybody else, you're wrong. There's no such thing as an Aryan race in the Bible. There's neither Jew nor Greek, male or female, slave or free. We are all one in Christ. And it is Paul who brings that out in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Now, Timothy is Paul's protege. Paul is a missionary, starts churches, and he brings along a young man by Timothy that it is believed he converted to Christianity. And Timothy went with him on many of the missionary journeys. Well, when Timothy was mature enough spiritually, he sends Timothy to Ephesus. Now, Ephesus is a city or an area in Asia Minor where a Christian church was started by Paul. It is known for one of the seven wonders of the world, the Temple of Artemis, with 1,000 temple prostitutes that made money for the temple and were part of that, one of the seven wonders of the world. So it was very lucrative, to say the least. Well, this church in Ephesus had a lot of issues with order, with people in the church, with leadership, and with false doctrine that was being taught within the church. And one of those false doctrines had to do with ancestry, genealogy. Let's take a closer look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle. What does apostle mean? One sent of Christ Jesus, Christ being the Old Testament anointed one. That's what Christ means, the one of the Old Testament. Jesus, of course, born in Bethlehem, his earthly name, by command of God, our Savior, and Christ Jesus, our hope. First and foremost, Paul makes it very clear, I'm not self-appointed. I am commanded by God to be an apostle. And then he distinguishes two of the three Godheads, the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, in many of the books that Paul writes, the epistles, he emphasizes the Holy Spirit. In 1 Timothy, he emphasizes the Father and the Son. All right, verse 2, to Timothy. Now, I am named Timothy Paul Dreyer. My biological and spiritual mother named me Timothy Paul Dreyer. Okay? Now you know kind of where I get my name. 1 Timothy, Paul writes it. To Timothy, my true child in the faith. See, he's acknowledging he's not a biological father, but a spiritual father. Grace. God's undeserved favor. He showers his grace upon. It's by grace you are saved. Mercy. We deserve judgment, punishment, but he gives us mercy and peace. The peace we have is peace with God and the peace of God in our life. These are the three important things: grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Introduction. Now we're going to get into what's the issue in chapter 1 for this church in Ephesus. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is what we stand on. And there were people teaching different doctrines. Nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than stewardship from God that is by faith. Instead of spending time sharing the faith and being good stewards of what God has given to you here and now, they would spend endless time and energy on genealogies. Why? For a Roman, your genealogy or your ancestry was important. If you could trace it back to a Greek god, and many Romans did, that meant you were important. Now think of it, with 1,000 prostitutes, how many people would trace their DNA or their ancestry back to the goddess Artemis, the fertility goddess? That meant you were somebody. Now let's say you were Jewish. Okay, you want to trace your genealogy ancestry back to the 12 tribes. And if you could go further back to Moses himself and to Abraham. Now you know why those Jewish Pharisees and scribes came up to Jesus. We are Abraham's seed and never been enslaved by anyone. How they forgot about Egypt. And how God brought them out of the land of slavery. How they forgot about the Babylonian captivity. I don't know how, but Jesus made it perfectly clear. God the Father can make Abraham's offspring out of rocks. Yeah. So if you were relying on your genealogy to make you better than anybody else, that's the wrong doctrine. That's not good at all. It's false, because the most important thing is your spiritual ancestry. Listen to the words of Paul in Galatians chapter 3, 29. If you are in Christ, you are Abraham's offspring. John chapter 1, a true light that is the light of everyone has come into our world. Though the world was made through him, though he came into the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to those who received him, to those that believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, offspring of God, descendants of Jesus Christ. Not born of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but born of God. Meaning the most important thing is your spiritual ancestry through Jesus Christ. All right. Today, why is that important? Today, there are churches or one church that claims to be Christian, who emphasizes genealogy, and they have a false teaching about it, and this would directly relate to it. If you ever heard of the Mormon Church, huge on genealogy, they have studied genealogy, and they have libraries of genealogy. Why? Because it's so important to them that you baptize relatives who have gone on, and baptize people to give people who have died a second chance in the afterlife to receive a baptism they might not have had an opportunity to receive while they lived on earth. So they practice what is called baptism for the dead. And it's all based upon genealogy and the Book of Mormon. Genealogy is so important, because you have to follow your genealogy from Lehi in Mesoamerica history. Yeah, meaning the history of America before Columbus discovered it, which is all mythology. Whoops, excuse me. And the teachings and everything goes on, and no archaeological find. There's no biblical basis for Mesoamerica and all the genealogy. So be aware of this. It's something that's part of today in some churches. All right, let's go on. 6, certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion. desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions about genealogy, ancestry, now about the law, another issue in the church. 8, now we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. I'm going to take some of you back to your catechism days. In the small catechism, it is Martin Luther who tells us the proper use of the law. It's for a curb to stop us. It's for a mirror to show us our sin. The Holy Spirit uses the law, the Ten Commandments, to show us our sin and the need of a Savior. And then it's a guide and a rule for how we are to live. That's the proper use of the law, to convict you of your sin, to show you your sin, and to show you how we should live. Now, the unlawful use of the law is what Paul describes. And it's like this. If you keep the law, you are righteous before God. Guess what, folks? Nobody can do that. Listen to how Paul describes it. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless, the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners. Folks, he's talking about you and me, every person who's ever lived on earth except Jesus. For the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexual immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. He covers all the bases, the spectrum of sin, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. There was a teaching that was false by the Pharisees and the scribes. If you keep the law, it's for you to be justified before God. No one can keep the law. Remember the rich young ruler? I have kept the law perfectly since I was a child. Jesus just kind of shakes his head. Really? Well, then sell all you have and come follow me. And he walked away sad. Where does God want us? To acknowledge we're a sinner, as listed here. And it is the law that shows us that. And then Paul makes a beautiful, huge proclamation about himself. 12, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointed me to his service. When we acknowledge our sin, we are justified before God by grace. We don't deserve it, but he showers it upon us and shows us mercy. 13, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecuted, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. It's one thing never to believe. It's another thing to believe and then go back to your ignorance, okay? And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Folks, this is the same for each and every one of us and for you who have joined us online. 15, the saying is trustworthy and deserves a full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Look at my fingers. To save sinners, of whom I am foremost. This morning, I hope you can raise your hand and say you are foremost when it comes to knowing a sinner. That's knowing yourself. And if you can say that you are foremost a sinner and that Christ Jesus came into the world to save you, I'm here to tell you, you're forgiven. I proclaim God's forgiveness upon your lives in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're no different than Paul. Okay, we're so blessed. Let's go on. 16, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternity. He's talking about us too, folks. 17, to the King of all ages, now he's acknowledging who Jesus is, the King of all ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. What a beautiful statement. His grace comes raining down on each and every one of us, just like Paul. We sang about this in the set list, and it washes away all the stain. 18, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. Paul gave these verbal instructions to Timothy, and then he wrote them down in this letter so that Timothy could go forth with the revelation and what he should do, and so that the people would have it in writing who Timothy was, commanded by Paul, that you may wage the good warfare. 19, holding faith and a good conscience by rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith. Let me tell you about a teaching that is in some Christian churches today. Once saved, always saved. Once you have faith, you can never lose it. That is not true, biblically speaking. You have the freedom of the will before and after you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. After you have faith in Jesus Christ as the one who saves you, you can shipwreck that faith, Paul says. And then he calls out two people by name, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So far, the words of Paul in chapter 1. What are you going to take home? Take this home. Your ancestry is important to you. Genealogy is important to you. But by far, the most important is your spiritual genealogy. Amen. Don't think for any moment your genealogy or ancestry makes you a better person. The most important thing is you're a child of God. If you are in Christ, you are an offspring of Abraham. That's the most important thing. The second thing you need to take home with you is the use of the law, the proper use. It is a curb. It should stop you. It is a mirror. You should see yourself when it comes to those Ten Commandments and the law of God. And it should show you the way you should live. That's what the Holy Spirit will produce in your life. Take this home with you. And if you're listening online, this is worthy, Paul says. Christ Jesus came into our world to save sinners. I being the foremost. And I hope you can say that too. And finally, I want you to take this home with you. You can make a shipwreck out of your faith. Don't let that happen. Stay in the Word. Follow the law. Celebrate these three things in your life as you leave, as you go home this week. Grace. It's by grace you have been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a gift from God through faith. Celebrate God's mercy this week, today, in your life. We deserve to be condemned for our sin, but God says, no, I forgive you, and I'm going to give you heaven. Take this home with you, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We have peace with God through Christ Jesus and his sacrifice and that mercy. And we have the peace of God in our hearts, no matter what happens to us in this life, no matter what you face, the difficulties, God is with you always to the end of the age. And when this life hands the worst it can to you, death itself, it's a doorway in a twinkle of an eye to go to heaven. Wow, that's something to celebrate. Amen.